is morning, and it is our 20-year celebration. We've had a great weekend. Friday night was amazing. Doug Anderson and Harmon over there. That piano will not work anymore. It had keys that were broken, but Harmon came in and was able to make beautiful noise out of it. But he said, it's dead. But it's amazing. Somebody with that kind of talent could come in and resurrect the dead keyboard. Man, they were just awesome. And seeing the video of all the previous people who passed away was just... That was a moment. I don't think words can really. It was just a moment. Last night, we moved from the past. We moved into the present, and it was good. A challenge for us to Pastor Rick's message to keep doing it. And remember, if no one says thank you, and no one says attaboy, and no one throws their arms around you, you do it for Jesus, and you just keep doing it. And the energy of that worship leader was amazing. I think you could have played for an hour's. But each night, I know who was here. You may have not have been here every night. Some of us have. But I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit has been here just like He is right now. And it was so moving on Friday night, and so moving on Saturday. And I just want to tell you, from Southern gospel to flipping over to contemporary, both were praising Jesus. We worshiped with both. And wow, if you ever let that get in your way, then you got a problem. You may like one more than the other, and that's okay too. But don't knock one. Love it all because it lifts up the name of the Lord. On your bulletin, there is a piece there for communion. We're going to do that next week. We had so much going on, and I think we just need to stay in celebration mode. And next week, we're going to be doing communion. But I did want to say a couple of thank yous. I did some each night, but Radosovich's, Ashley and Kyle doing the ice cream. That was great last night, wasn't it? I don't know if you got it, but that was good. And then Don doing all these pictures. Y'all check out our Facebook page. Those were really, just some really good pictures. Made me look better than I normally am. That is an art. And Deb and Joda working up the food here, I know that they've done that and got on the phone and called people. Hopefully you got called and you brought your best food in. So I'm a little privileged. I get a little bit of special food off to the side. Thank you, Joda, for that. What I want to do is I want all the little ones to come up here for a minute. Can we do that, all the little ones? All the little ones, not you adults, the little kids. Come on up here real quick. If you're in nursery, bring them up. Brittany's supposed to help them come down and come right up in here. Here we go, right here. Man. It's okay. You don't have to look at all those faces. You can just come up here and look at me. How's that? So right here, how's that? You know, they used to do this. I'm not doing a little mini sermon. Don't. But back in the day, that's what they would do every Sunday. How you doing there, bud? Oh, I got to ask somebody. How's your eye there, buddy?
Good.
Okay, good. There was one wounded here. One of our pastors decided to take a kid down last night. Awesome. Oh, okay, you guys are going to be here. I'm going to turn around and look at you because you guys have the most beautiful faces in here tonight, don't you? Yeah? Who said that? Yeah? Yeah? There's some others missing, too. Where's Sam and Ian at? Where's the rest of these guys at? Where's Children's Church at? Oh, they're around here somewhere. Well, there you go, Sam. So if I could just, yeah, there we go. And you know what? These guys move and talk, and it's okay. My ministry started with little ones. And I want to remind you, even with this group right here and youth group, Children's Church, once you make a connection with them, it's for life. There's something about children's ministries. Hey, buddy, you want to come over here? Nope, he wants to take a nap. I just want to tell you guys.
He's in worship mode.
There you go. I just want, hey, you guys, I just want to tell you, you are all awesome. And there is a name that you're going to keep learning, and his name is Jesus. And you may not understand right now, but our faces are going to change, but his will never change. And he's going to love you no matter what. When the world comes falling down, he's going to be right there with you. And I want to remind the church that this is the future church. So Jesus said, bless the children. So I want to pray over them today. Y'all okay with that? And I think we gave reverence to those who passed away. But let's give reverence to the ones that are here right now. So let's go ahead and stand, and we're going to pray for them and ask God to bless them. We good with that? Yeah. We're going to work on this railing. We apologize for that. This is bad. Well, Father, Lord, we want to say thank you for the children that you've given to us here at this church. Lord, they are a blessing. And your word, we saw that there were some wanting to push them to the side. But you said, you bring them to me. Lord, you love children. Lord, teach us to love our children here. Lord, we know that you already love them, but teach us to love them, to be patient with them. I pray, Father, Lord, you give us words and a desire to teach them in a way that they understand, and that we do it with love and compassion, like you. Praying for these children, that some of these will be future leaders in this church. I pray, Father, that your gift in this we know is already in them. We pray, Father, you'll protect them, but we ask a blessing on them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes. And, he wants to follow me. I'm going to let Brittany give them a snack, and if they eat it in here, it's okay. It's a special day. Thank you, guys. And also, we'll be, I don't know, Phil, we have to clean up a little bit more than, but love you guys. You guys all be good. We dropped that. There you go. Love all of you. All of you. Okay, run back and poke your parents. There you go. It's all good. They want to see it. I might kick that. Okay. There you go. Took the pastor's wife. There you go. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. Whoops. I also want to share before we begin, but if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9 this morning. We're talking Friday night, we talked about the past. Last night was the present. Today's a little bit more on the future. But, you know, we had some great singing on Friday night. Great singing on last night. But we have a great music team right here. We have a great worship leader right here, and those who sing with Ashley. And, you know, we're working through things, and even our sound guys continue to improve. I truly think I don't even think we're at our best yet. And this is boasting on the Lord, just using what we have. And so I'm encouraged that we're going to continue to grow. And as we grow, there's growing pains in it. But I am thankful that we have a really good worship leader here. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, you know, sometimes it can be intimidating when you get some very famous person in the house or all these, whatever it is. But, you know, you get what God gives you, and it's amazing. Because I truly believe that Ashley has a God-given gift to sing. Just want to remind you, you can learn a talent, but you can't learn a gift. Gifts are given. Talents can be learned. So I'm going to share with you today through God's Word this morning in Matthew chapter 9. It's amazing what happens when Jesus gets in the scene of anything. It says in chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 9, it says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Father, as we get ready to break into this word, as we just started, may your Spirit move upon us the way that only you can, that we might be moved by you and by no other. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what we need for our own personal self and as a church this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So we see here that Jesus sees this man, Matthew, and he went up to him and he said, follow me. I want to just tell you that if you want to experience what real life is and what life is to the fullest extent, and when anytime Jesus, I just want to say that the step that you should always take is follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Even when a lost person, a sinner, their step should always be follow Jesus. Their first step should be follow Christ. For the Christian, it should always be follow Christ. Wherever He tells you to go, you need to go. Because He's leading you to something that you probably have no clue. He's leading you to somewhere. And I also want to just kind of remind you that if He's calling you, that you need to remember that He knows your name. He knows exactly where you are. Matthew is this tax collector. And that'll come into play, the type of guy that he is. But it says, so he rose and he followed him. He's going to begin a new journey following Jesus. I think our journey is exciting when we follow Jesus. Even when it gets a little crazy and it gets a little hard, following Jesus, I'm always waiting. What is Jesus going to do next? What is the Holy Spirit going to say next? What is God up to right now? And it's always amazing. When you got your spiritual eyes on, you can see the movements of God in your surrounding, of your own life and your surrounding parts of your life. But he goes on, he says now in verse 10, now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Jesus does not ignore the sinner or the lost one. Matter of fact, he is drawn to them. He engages with them. We need to have this challenge today, because when you become a Christian, when you're a Christian, you've been a Christian a long time, there is a comfort zone that you can get into where you don't want to share the gospel anymore. And you're just kind of trying to let other people do what God has purposed you to do. You need to start sharing the gospel. You need to start sharing what God has done in your life. I'm sure Mike is very thankful for a man who shared the story of Noah with him. Regardless, you know, sometimes we see that people in the room get up and leave, but I want to tell you, sometimes God gets them up and leave because they're not ready. God wants that one person. God is willing to spend a lot of time with one person. One person. And we see that Matthew is following. And what happens is there's tax collectors and more are following. But it doesn't end yet. Verse 11 says, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? I want to remind you also that there's going to be criticism in your walk with the Lord. There's going to be criticism here at New Life for what we do. There's going to be criticism. And one of those pieces of criticism is always this. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? And you see, the criticism didn't come from lost people. It came from those who should know God. It came from the Pharisees. Why are you guys doing that? We've heard that many times. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? That's a good question. But they were talking to the disciples. Sometimes your criticism doesn't come straight at you. It comes from others around you. And they'll talk to people and try to criticize to others about what you're doing. And you know this, you always hear it, don't you? And the scripture says in verse 12, when Jesus heard that. If you're going to criticize, you need to know this. The person you're criticizing is going to hear it. Okay? If you're going to criticize ministries or church, the church and people working in the ministries are going to hear it. Jesus heard it. And he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Jesus didn't come for the healthy, he came for the sick. That is the purpose of this church. That is the purpose of this church. If we look over to Luke chapter 10, it is one of my favorites. It is a God piece for me. It is the story of the Good Samaritan. In chapter 10, we know there was a man who was beat up by robbers, left for dead. And we see some individuals coming by, and they kind of avoid him. And we see these are believers that are free. We see these people, they avoid him. They walk on the other side. But there was a Samaritan, this unsaved man. There was a man. And he is willing to do what needed to be done to help this broken man left on the road. I want to read from Luke chapter 10 for a moment, and 33. He says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came in where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So when he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day he departed, and he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you.'" And Jesus is giving this parable, and he says this, "So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" Jesus now is asking a question. Which one do you believe of the three? Pretty much acted appropriately. Well, the man chooses a word. He said, here it is, "He who showed mercy." He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." It was to show mercy. This church is called New Life. New Life, that people would come and hear the gospel. They have new life through Christ. Sometimes my real name is James. But there were so many in the school as an elementary, they said I had to use a different name. So my family called me Jimmy. My spelling's even different because there was a whole bunch of big name back in the day. But sometimes I'm called Dad. Sometimes I'm called Son. Sometimes I'm called Pastor. I have a lot of names, a lot of things with that. This church does too. I believe another name for this church is Mercy House. A love house. Compassion. Healing home. All the things that Christ would want to see. I believe a lot of those are being done right here. I don't think God is done with us at all. You see, last year we just turned 20. We grew up as a church. We grew up as a baby church. We were little. We were messing. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how we made it. I had a flashback. How's that? You want to know what my flashback was? I was preaching one time down on the street building with the yellow door. I step off, and somebody came up to me and said, "Jimmy, you have 2 different shoes on." I was like, "What?" I looked down. I was like, "What?" I couldn't wait to get the car. That's embarrassing. But God had grace on that. He said, "There's my boy. You don't know what he's doing. He can't even dress himself. I'm going to work with him. But we grew. And he kept us very tight under his wing. We had some people that wanted to come in, like these Pharisees, and really kind of just derail us. But the Lord kept us real tight under his wing. He fluttered those wolves away. Then we grew up a little bit more and became children. And we had to figure some things out. And God led us opportunities to do some things. And we started growing more in the Lord. And we were starting to look a little bit like a church. A little bit. We continued to grow. We continued to move. As we grew, we began to move. And I look at it right now, and since we've been in this building, every building's had great things in it, and But we've been in this building. There's been a lot of ups and downs, and our biggest battles have probably been in this building, but our biggest victories have been in this building. I would say that we are now, this is a happy birthday moment today for New Life. We are now 20. We're no longer babies. We are no longer children. This church is no longer a teenager. It is now becoming an adult. And we have to act like an adult. We have to do what God has called us to do. Before maybe God gave us grace and things where we just wasn't quite sure about some things and we slowly went after things. Does that even make sense? I'm so fast on stuff. But with some things we did go slow. Sometimes God waited on us. Sometimes we might have got ahead and He pulled us back around. And He had patience with us. But I know this, as you grow in the Lord, more is expected. We're no longer teenagers. This church is no longer a teenage church. It is now a full adult church, which comes with a lot of responsibilities. We're starting to see that we are becoming one of the lead churches in the community. Not because of our number of what people in the pews, and not because of me, but because of what we do. And we don't do it because we have called and we decided to create it. It's what God's vision was for us in 2006. You see, this is what it looks like when you go in to a land you don't understand. Doing what God, if God gives you a vision, you go in, you take a look at it. As we took group down into Florida, we looked at it, came back, and we didn't say we couldn't do it. The group said we could do it. And this is what it looks like. But as you grow as an adult, this church grows as an adult, then it becomes where people become more reliable on you. You begin to be looked at as a leading church. Right now, there are people across the country that know this church. I think it was last year. I know, maybe 18 months anyway. But all the churches in the United States, this church was picked out of all churches in the United States for one Sunday. Let me tell you, that is, there are more, just in Southern Baptist churches, there are more Southern Baptist churches than there is Starbucks, McDonald's, and I forgot what the other one is. Starbucks, McDonald's, and whatever it is. There are thousands of churches, and God chooses ours to pray for. I don't know if you understand what that means. I don't know if you understand what it means that we are known across the country as one thing. It's not what we do. It's not our name. And it's definitely not me. But what it is, it's always the same thing. How does a church that size do what they do? That is the question. And it has flocked many of them to travel hundreds of miles. Right now, we're going to have somebody advocate for us. I don't have to go down, so it's amazing. But somebody had met with me last week. They're going to advocate for down for a new team. I have no clue, but God knows how it works. Trying to get a team, a group coming from Houston. Folks, that's in Texas. I've never been to Texas, but God has. And it may not mean nothing to some of you, but I hope that you see it. As sometimes Jesus would say, if you don't believe in me, at least believe in the miracles. At least believe, whether you struggle and whatever it is, at least believe that God is doing these ministries. Believe that what God is doing here is important. And we ought to be in awe, because what we have seen is God has not chosen the biggest church in the community. He has not chosen the biggest city in the state. He has chosen New Life in Huntington and in Indiana to be a light to other churches. God is not done with us. I wrote a letter a couple of years ago. I think it was actually 2019. At the end of 2019, I wrote a letter. I wrote a letter to our president, Nam. Wrote a letter, said, this is who we are. We need a little help. We're about 65 people on a Sunday. I asked for help. I asked him to come up and visit. He didn't come up and visit, or you would all known that. But this is the president of National American Mission Board of the Baptists. You're not just going to get an appointment when you want an appointment. But I got a letter back. And then I got a contact from someone and asked me, what do you guys need? And we talked about it and asked them for $17,000. Well, they cut a check and said it was going to come in. And they said, he's going to cut a check. They're going to cut a check for $20,000. And that came in. I'm going to tell you, that came in. They said, that's going to come in tomorrow by FedEx. Had to sign for it. And when I opened that up, I looked at it. I want to tell you something. I looked at that, and I was like, I don't know them, and they don't know me. But who do we know is Christ. And what happens in my mind is scriptures. It's not just about learning the scriptures. It's about experiencing the scriptures. You had not because you asked not. You see, I can give you stories all day long about what God has done with money, what God has done with buildings, what God has done with people. But hearing the stories is amazing. But if you want to experience it, you have to intermingle with the people in the church. You have to get to know one another. You need to volunteer down at the meal ministry and get in there and start meeting some people that you haven't met or that you don't know. Because Jesus says this, I desire mercy. He says, but go and learn what this means. Jesus says, here's your step. Here's the next thing I want you to do. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. These 20 years have been great. I love the celebration that we've had. These 20 years have been amazing. But the present, right now, what we're doing and what God's calling us to do in the future is going to be bigger than what we've ever known. And I don't know what all that is, but I do know that 2006 vision is still in play. Women's, men's, children, and the meal ministry. And we're not done yet. Our men's going to be open here in the near future. I'm excited about that. It's impossible to open it without the Lord. This piece I shared last night about another house possibility, that's all about God. I can't make that happen. And neither can any of you, unless you just want to cut a big fat check. Unless you just want to cut, I'm just saying. I do know this. I feel God is happy with us. I feel like myself, in my spirit, that God is getting some joy out of here today. And that moves my heart. He knows everything that we've worked against, every wall, everything we worked against. And it's just like I can just feel him say, you're doing great. Keep going. Matthew's first words from Jesus was this: follow me. The Pharisees were, go and learn what mercy is. Peter's was, come and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. New life is, follow me, build a church. Follow me. I want to make you a place that is filled with mercy and compassion. Next week, our phones are going to ring, and somebody's going to call. It's going to be a female, probably. It's going to call and say, I'm in a really bad spot. I'm living on the street. I need a place to stay. Can you help me? I'm using and I want to stop. A man's going to call and say, have you got your life house open yet? Someone's going to call and say, I'm not sure. What time does that free meal thing open up? And where's it at again? Can you just tell me that? That doesn't happen just every now and then. It happens all the time. Because people are looking for compassion. They're looking for a place of mercy. They're looking for a helping hand. They're looking for somebody that will just give them a minute and just care about them. And Jesus has chosen this place and put it on the corner at the crossroads of brokenness, hurt, sin, and pain. And there sits new life. Someone has shared with me. I shared that once and they said, you know, I think it's this. I was going to hell and just the way I was living. I think new life is outside the gates of hell. It's like a last moment spot. I want to tell you this. If we let our light out, if we don't let the light of Jesus shine in here, we're going to miss what God's called us to do. But God is using this place. I think God is excited about it. He wants us to celebrate. He wants you not to get... I know He doesn't want us to get just kind of cruise mode. He wants us to keep going. Like I said, He's already at work on this house thing. All He wants us to do is trust Him. I love your testimony, Mike. I don't think I've heard that. If I had, it's been a long time. Gotta share what God is doing here. I don't know where you're at in your walk with Christ, but I know where this church is as a whole. One of the hardest things to do is be where God is working, but you're not letting God work in you. You're right in the mix of it all, and you see it all, and you're you're in the most dangerous place a Christian can be. But for a lost person, it is the greatest place to be. Because the lost person doesn't understand and know. They're just hurting. They need help. They don't understand it all. And they're reaching out. But a Christian should know. To be in a church that is doing what we do, and you are missing it, and you're right there, and you're missing it, you're in a danger zone. You're kind of held at a place for a person without excuse. Because Jesus says, follow me. And we're following. And God is moving. And here's the sad part. You'll see God move, and you won't even know it unless somebody tells you. Because you can't connect with the Holy Spirit. I want to give a moment here, as we always do, but I want to kind of adjust and change it up just for a moment. The altar is going to be open. But I want to ask you all a personal question. Jesus is telling you to follow him. He's speaking to you, asking you, follow me. But only you know where he's telling you to follow him at. For some of you, maybe it is salvation. Follow me to salvation. Follow me into repenting. You need to repent. I want to use you so bad, but you need to repent. You need to get your life right. You need to get your spirit right. Maybe it is to follow me. I need to step up and do something. But only the Lord knows what that is. I don't. So the question is, what is Jesus? What is the Holy Spirit telling you to follow him to? Matthew is to follow me. And become a servant. But what is Jesus telling you to follow him to? Because I know what he is for the church. But what is he telling you to follow you? Father, as we take these next few moments, may your spirit speak to each individual here today. Whatever it is that you desire them to follow you to, I pray they hear it loud and clear. For those with salvation, that they would receive salvation. For those who need to repent, they need to repent. For those who need to follow into ministry, those who need to follow into whatever it is, may your will be done here today. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.